Well, I don't think it's a news flash that real estate is on people's mind, but I'm going to talk about it from an investment point of view now. Very pleased to welcome back to the show Jeff Olin. He's the president, CEO, founder of the Vision Opportunity Group of Funds. Their tremendous track record, I might add. They were formed in 2008, July, off the top of my head. And I think they're averaging around 11%, the good years, the pandemic years, and the after years, all of that stuff. Jeff, and the other thing I want to say, Jeff, well, first of all, thank you for joining us. But I want to just make sure the audience understands one of the things that grabbed my attention right away when you first came out of the gate, you know, whatever it was, 16 years ago now. Your fund can go long and go short. That's one thing. But you do your investment through the stock market. Obviously, with a annual return, average annual return of 11%, you find good value there. But the premise being, you know, sometimes the stock market doesn't fully value somebody's real estate portfolio, whether it's industrial, commercial, you know, apartment, REITs, the whole thing. And obviously, you've found many situations. I know you've been involved in many takeovers in the fund, which, of course, benefits the subscribers and the investors. But I just wanted to make sure that one of the things I loved about it, you could go short. Oh, I hate that real estate. Hey, you can play it to go down. I love that real estate. You can play it to go up in all sectors, in all geographies, which is also very important, at least for me, when I look at potential success. So in saying all that, you probably wonder, do I ever shut up? No, but I wanted to make sure people knew that. So Jeff, just give me your quick take on the environment we're dealing in. And you could go geographical, you can go countryside, or you can go portfolio, you know, which type, commercial, industrial, residential.
Yeah, it is a quite interesting time. I mean, people have asked us over the last 16 years, is this a good time to invest with Vision? And it's not that we want to avoid the question, but as your introductory comments indicated, we seek to outperform through all market cycles because we're a long, short fund. We don't need to be bulls for real estate. That being said, it is an interesting time frame because over the last 2 years, we've had a lot of headwinds in our space. We had the fastest increase in interest rates over the shortest period of time ever. And so now look where we are. Now we see some tailwinds. I don't know if there's going to be 2 rate cuts, 3 rate cuts, 2024, 2025. But what we're pretty confident of, notwithstanding the last couple of days, is interest rates have peaked. And when you have that situation, in the following 12 months from the top of Fed tightening or stopping, you know, ceasing tightening, REITs have delivered 21% total returns. In addition, our blood, we say, is looking at the supply and demand of real estate markets. That's how we make our investments. But the underlying REITs are also impacted by the supply and demand of the paper, if you will, because they're in the stock market. And we have today the lowest underweight to real estate securities we've had since the global financial crisis. That's very bullish. And then you add, I mean, Vision has done quite well, and last year we're up about 12%, but the REIT index is nowhere. It's still the worst performing sector in the S&P 500 since 2022. So the timing looks pretty interesting. That said, to the other key component of your question, not all things are created equal. You look at the last 20 years, the differential between the best performing REIT quartile and the worst averaged 49%. So that's benefited last year. It's an environment where stock picking matters more. And so you've got to look at supply and demand fundamentals and valuations to understand which property types in which geographic regions will outperform, frankly, irrespective of interest rates.
Are you finding when you look inside the market, again, I'll emphasize that the premise, at least it seems to me, when you first started out is sometimes the market misprices real estate, you know, or the holdings of a particular country or REIT, we could be talking whichever aspect, but they misprice. And yeah. I'm just, you know, you just alluded to REITs. And again, I want to just remind people what you also said. Hey, it's a big difference which ones you get, you know, because the best ones do way better than the mediocre or worse ones. So let's assume you're looking for the best ones.
Yeah, I mean, our mantra, you cut down our strategy to one sentence. We seek to buy real estate cheaper in the stock market than the property market. And then the difference between real estate and any other asset class is the private market dwarfs the public market, and there's an arbitrage between the two. We'd rather not compete with Blackstone.
Yeah.
We'd rather sell to Blackstone, which we've done on four occasions the last 4 years. So we begin 2024 with an announcement that Blackstone is buying one of our core holdings, Tricon, which is a leader in the single-family rental residential business in the United States, but founded in Canada, listed in Canada, at a 28% premium to what it's trading at in the stock market. And this is the difference in our space. When you have these inefficiencies that we could spend three shows talking about why, but the result is there is this arbitrage. And when you can buy quality real estate, quality platforms at a discount in the stock market, that really is the secret sauce as to why Vision exists. And as you said, when things are out of whack, valuations are too high, or the fundamentals are just bad, you can't do anything about that in the property market. And we can. As you've noted before, we shorted the Calgary office market. Last year, we were short the U.S. apartment market because you had 1 million apartments under construction, which was the most in 50 years. You had gross rents, not net rents, meaning in, if you're an office, retail, industrial, the tenant pays the proportionate shares of the property taxes and realty taxes, and operating expenses, but not in apartments. And so when you had your rents capped, in many cases, by rent controls or other factors or market conditions, and your expenses are not because of inflation, that's not a good recipe. We were short apartments. And of course, then President Biden had a cessation on the moratorium of student loan repayments. So kids were hanging around their parents' basements longer. And you've seen a turnaround in the Sun Belt where you've seen negative rent performance. And so that's something we can do. We were bulls in the Sun Belt for apartment for 10 years, and we moved quickly to go short U.S. apartments because of those factors.
Yeah, it's that sums up for me what I've been watching with Vision, and I think some of that unique and successful model, because I had noticed the same thing about the Sun Belt. Why? Because I know that you and Ozzie Jurek pushed the Sun Belt saying it's looking great, but then you turned around on a dime, which is what I found. Which is much easier to do when you're talking stocks than you are talking the actual holder of the property. You can do that tomorrow morning if you felt like it.
That's correct.
That's a huge advantage. Let me ask you, when you're looking around today, geographical areas that you're keener on or that sort of piqued your interest where you think the value is there at this point?
I think at this juncture, we're focused more so on certain sectors and property types. So we really like generally grocery-anchored, pharmacy-anchored shopping centers, in particular the units of First Capital REIT. We've been very active on that name. This is a name where you're getting a very defensive place with grocery, pharmacy-anchored, great tenant base, very defensive. And the stock, which is about a $3.5 billion market cap, is trading at a 35% discount to the value of the real estate. And you're getting a 5.5% dividend yield with a REIT that has 20 million square feet of in-place properties and 24 million square feet of incremental density to build apartments, not on greenfield sites, but on the best locations in six major urban centers in Canada. So that's one area we like. We also love the manufactured housing community space. This is in the U.S. This is a sector that's typically traded because of its favorable fundamentals at 20% premiums to net asset value between 2011 and 2021. Now you can buy Sun Communities on the New York Stock Exchange, $15 billion market cap at a 20% discount to the value of the real estate. So that's an area we like, very affordable housing. We love Boardwalk in Canada, Boardwalk REIT, but we were short apartments in the United States. Texas and Alberta are likely the two last places on the planet you're going to have rent controls. Everybody knows about the population growth and employment growth in Texas. Well, Boardwalk, as you know, Michael, just went through the biggest period of population migration in its history. And it wasn't just immigration. It was population migration from other provinces Boardwalk, we profiled it a number of times over the last 2-3 years in your show. It was the best performing REIT in 2023. We still like it. Alberta still looks really strong. We continue to like industrial real estate, in particular in Canada. Dream Industrial REIT is a great name for your audience, trading at a 33% discount to our view of net asset value with a 5.5% dividend yield. In smaller types of properties, which are not as susceptible to some economic softness in some of the big box. And we like seniors housing. We like Chartwell Residences REIT in Canada. This is a sector where occupancy in the pandemic fell from 90% to 75% in early 2022. And it's been coming back. We're now up to about 85%. Supply was a factor there. A lot of supply. Supply has diminished. Everybody knows about the demographics. Chartwell looks pretty good here. Again, a 5% dividend yield on a stock that's trading at around $12.60. We think it's worth $14.50 in net asset value. And similarly, Sienna Senior Living, also in the space, they have a combination of retirement homes and nursing homes. And their nursing homes in Ontario, there's finally, after 10 years, a formula to make it economically viable to build new nursing homes, and they're generating 7-8% yields in doing that while still having a core retirement home portfolio. A lot in BC where you're at, as well as in Ontario, 7% yield on that one. We think it's worth $14.50, trading around $13.30, $1 billion market cap. So those are some good ideas. Mm-hmm. Audience.
And you can see some of the trends, like the latter one you're talking about. Obviously, we've got an aging population. We don't have adequate housing really on any score throughout the country in Canada. And, you know, more complicated, I think, more regional in the US. But I mean, we know about our population increase. We know about the need for supply. And it's one of those things you wish it wasn't right. But I see all the impediments put up to increasing supply is actually good, though, if you're already in the market. You're in the pre-existing market. You've got the demand built in from the temporary visas. And I know they're going to cut back in the next year on that. But the population growth, they're not changing. You know, I just don't see any way supply can keep up with demand, which is good news if you're already an owner.
Yeah, supply is, I mean, we have a federal government policy that has an immigration policy, but notwithstanding recent announcements, pretty much have been absence on any housing policy. That's just kind of insane. And Canadians are suffering by it.
Let me come back. Just sorry, I don't want to digress too far. But again, the whole concept I see popping up again of rent control. And again, as a holder of properties, you know, what does that mean? But I mean, it's just been such a failed, it sounds attractive for about 8 seconds till you think about it. You know, and it's been a failed policy everywhere it's tried.
It's failed policy everywhere at all times. And because it's done based on populist themes that are commendable. Every human should be entitled to an affordable place to live. Hard to argue with that. But the solutions are draconian. They hurt those that they're intended to help. Mm-hmm. Anytime you go into the market and you restrict market activity, you create unnecessary impediments. You restrict supply. You create a disincentive to put capital in the building. So the tenants are suffering with poor accommodation. And frankly, well, they're very hard to implement politically. The solutions are pretty simple. If society decides that should be a basic level of affordability, then subsidize to those that need it. Don't go into the marketplace and destroy the incentive to create the market working. There are ways to do this. They're kind of obvious, but politicians don't necessarily want to take the more sophisticated path that will work. So rent controls are in favor, and look at the markets don't have them. Rents are Alberta, rents are affordable. Texas, rents are affordable. They don't have rent controls.
And again, that comes back to something you'd earlier said, that certainly figures into your destinations. You know, if you're comparing opportunities, you kind of like Alberta because the likelihood of that rent control or that kind of a policy arriving is probably the least with throughout Canada, and the same with Texas, like a non-starter there. So it's just interesting to hear you, you know, obviously attuned to that when you're looking for opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to Boardwalk. There's 70% of their net operating income is from markets that don't have rent controls.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask about, you know, you also look at industrial, as you mentioned just a couple of moments ago with Dream REIT. What about commercial? I mean, it's certainly had lots of publicity on the negative side about half-empty buildings and, you know, the Canada Pension Plan selling some building that I had pocket change enough to buy, you know, that kind of thing. But so are you looking at all at commercial? You just keep your eye on it in case there is an opportunity.
For clarity, I think you're referring specifically to office.
Yeah. Yes, and, thank you for that. Yeah.
So, you know, as you know from you know, our discussions over the years, we generally have been the most bearish guys in office forever. I grew up with Bramley and Olympia and York, and, you know, if you're not of our ilk, you may not remember these names, but they're leading office owners, developers, managers. And frankly, I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody in history with a buy and hold strategy in office get a reasonable return. It's really tough to do because of capital expenditures, and it's not the lobby renovation or the parking garage, it's the tenants. Every time you release that space, you got to give them free rent and tenant improvement dollars. So we had a 20-year secular decline before the pandemic between 2000 and 2020, where the lawyers don't have law libraries anymore. You know, Deloitte built new buildings in Toronto, Montreal. They went from 300 square feet per employee to 160 square feet per employee. That was going on before the pandemic. We think the pandemic creates a 15% long-term reduction in demand. But to your point, you know, our top five attribution to our fund in 2022 were all shorts in the office space. But the stock market got it right. Those names got crushed. They were down 70, 80%. So we now have a bit of a bifurcated strategy where we're long New York City office, which now has 80% of pre-COVID return to office, and we're short some markets and some names in Canada, which relatively overvalued and overlevered and not nearly in as good position. And so we can play a bifurcated approach where we just take advantage of relative value differentials.
And let's finish with a couple of things. I want to remind people, though, first that you know, you can buy the Vision Opportunity Fund, and that's a broad-based stay. But you've also got the fund, the Vision Alternative Income Fund, that people can put right in their RSP. I just want people to know that you know, the kinds of things you're saying, they mirror each other, but you can invest right in the RSP. So it could be your kind of real estate portion of your RRSP, or, you know, the like. So I just wanted to make sure people knew that. But Jeff, can you sum up the difference when you're looking? And I know this is too broad a question, so you can make it more specific. But just when you look at Canada's outlook versus the U.S. outlook, but again, the geographical difference are so great. But any aspect of that you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a conundrum because clearly the economic activity and growth in the United States is dramatically better than it is in Canada. And I won't get too political, but that's just a fact right now. But the other side of it, from a real estate perspective, is we're likely to see interest rate declines earlier in Canada, if not soon, for all kinds of reasons, including the difference in our housing markets where, you know, Canadians can't, you know, afford their mortgages at these levels. So you're likely to see rates decline. That's good. For a couple of reasons. One, because the cap rate, if you will, the unlevered return on real estate has a relationship to interest rates. Mm-hmm. And if interest rates go down, that unlevered return goes down, which means valuations go up. The valuation is the inverse, the opposite of the unlevered cap rate. So one, valuation is going up. And two, Canadian REITs tend to be over levered relative to US. They operate with higher leverage. So if you're operating with higher leverage and rates go down, you're a bigger beneficiary of those rate declines. And so, you know, Canadian REITs look interesting at this juncture.
Yeah, as I say, the other thing we're always making the point on Money Talks is that we shouldn't confuse the, as you just reinforce for us, don't confuse the U.S. economy with the Canadian economy. I mean, theirs is doing better. There, I mean, you look at this past week where it's clear that the markets assessed down in the States that their rate decline is coming much later than ours. I mean, we can, they're debating whether it's even into 2025 now, where it seems like the consensus and the hints, of course, by the Bank of Canada is we could see a rate decline in June, you know, which is not far off. So yeah, interesting to see that distinction and then play out, as they say, when you look at the stocks and you look at the real estate holdings within the stocks.
Yeah, I think the other big difference is the REIT sector is way better capitalized than private REITs. Private REITs, private property, private equity, they use 65% leverage. The United States today, in the REIT sector, it's 33% leverage. You have 4-to-1 interest coverage ratios, 90% fixed rate debt with a weighted average term to maturity of 6 years. You're going to see lots more distress in private office, to your question.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any distress in REITs because of the strength of their balance sheets. And if you're a pension fund or a private equity or an individual and you want to put debt on your property, you're getting a mortgage. If you're a REIT, 85% of the REIT sector in the United States is investment grade rated. They're using unsecured debt. Today, the cost of unsecured debt is 150 basis points, has been 100 to 150 basis points cheaper than mortgage debt. You're going to see REITs going on offense and going back to doing accretive acquisitions. And we've seen that in the last 2 weeks in the United States. In particular, Rexford, a California-based industrial, raised $1 billion to buy a 3 million square foot portfolio from Blackstone. You saw Torino raise $500 million as well to buy a portfolio. And that's the advantage these REITs have today, because there's still a big disconnect between public market and private market, and they've got the balance sheets to do something about it.
And of course, that's has you people licking your chops at Vision Capital, but it's also, Jeff, when we've been able to talk over the years, what I think for me as an investor, and I would consider myself sophisticated in this area, but who can do the research geographically? If you know what I mean, like I don't go to Texas. I don't, you know, and you people do. You look at across North America, of course, and you've gone into Europe too. I appreciate that. But I'm just saying it's, you know, it's sitting there, but it takes expertise. And as you said right at the outset, and I couldn't agree more, I think this is a stock picker's time. You know,
The advantage of what we do versus what I used to do are those to buy real estate directly through bricks and mortar. Number one, you can't buy real estate cheaper in the property market than the property market. You know, why do we need to be that 17th guy to compete against a pension fund or REIT or an entrepreneur? We get geographic diversification. We get property type diversification. We get access to best-in-class properties that may not be available at all in the property market. Yeah. Nobody calls us in the middle of the night to fix the heater, and we have liquidity. And that's a whole other subject, because we've had all of these many real estate private REITs in globally, United States, Canada, Europe, where there's a mismatch between the underlying liquidity of their holding their properties and the liquidity they promised their investors. We don't have that issue. And of course, when the fundamentals are lousy or valuations are excessive, we talked about this, we can do something about it by being short. You can't short that office building.
As usual, always fascinating, Jeff, always so well-informed. Vision Capital, the Vision Capital Alternative Income Fund, Vision Alternative Income Fund. As I said earlier, you can just put in your RSP if you want. Also just buy it, but also Vision Capital. Jeff, as always, much appreciate your time.
Thanks very much. Nice to see you looking well.